The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. It certainly does. Liam, can you do something about Wynn's mic? I can't. Are you there?
Can you hear me now?
That's better. Morning, buddy.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. This is Terry Raposin, my partner Wynn Carpenter, and our producer. Liam, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Good. You wide awake now?
I'm so awake.
So glad.
He's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
This is Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live from downtown Reading. KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, 1460 AM, your talk radio, and you can listen to us because we stream live all over the world at KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever and ever.
And ever.
So you don't have to listen to it.
Right now.
Well, but if they're listening to what I'm saying, they're listening right now.
Yes, they are. They can listen again later.
But you can listen later, and you can have your friends listen anytime.
Yeah, even your enemies. Your frenemies.
Anyway, we've been doing something a little special on our show every week, and we're going to continue to do that. At the Board of Supervisors, we always have, as you walk into the beginning of the meeting, you always get to hear about a county employee who makes a very nice salary and has a very nice pension and has a very great health program. But they're always given some sort of award for a job well done. I'm not saying that that isn't deserved, but you know, when you're hired to do a job and you make pretty good money at it, I don't know why we have to hear about it every week, but we do. So we've decided to do the citizen or citizens of the week, and our citizens of the week are Dick and Fran Wilkinson. And, Dick has been a wonderful man for the community. Fran is just the epitome of a couple that's helped our community in every kind of cause. They give hundreds of thousands of dollars, have given raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for the Salvation Army. They've done that during Christmas when they decorate their home, which is the Red Barn, which everybody I think in Reading and Shasta County is familiar with. And that money goes directly to the Salvation Army to help children, families, and it's just a marvelous thing. They set something up for Halloween, which they also have, donate money, to causes. Dick, any kind of, help the veterans need, he's there. They're just two wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people, and Dick, is 90 years old, and his beautiful bride, Fran, just turned 85 last week. So, God willing, they're going to be going strong for another 20 years.
There you go.
Anyway, that's our citizens of the week, and we are here with a good friend named Richard Gallardo. Richard is, someone who has done an immense amount of research and seems to be a tireless worker. I don't think he ever sleeps. He's always out there trying to get information to help us and bring to light, anomalies. Of course, we're going to just call it fraud. We'll just call it what it is.
Truth.
If Doug Frank says we can call it fraud, we're calling it fraud.
And it's the truth.
And it is the truth.
It's the truth.
So, anyway, with that, Richard, how you doing, my good friend?
Hey, good morning. Stones, sometimes sniffles. I'm having a sniffly day today.
Yes. Yes, you got a nickname from a very bright man when you got your nickname. Stones.
Who was that?
Stones of Iron.
Stones.
Stones of Iron.
So thanks for having me in. Been a very interesting week with elections all over the country, but I like to focus local. The way you take your country back is local. If every county did what we're doing, holding our local establishment at bay. Mm-hmm. We haven't reversed it yet, but we're holding them at bay. If every county was to do what we're doing, then you would take your state back. If every state took itself back, you would by default take your country back. So answer's always been local.
It's always getting out there and doing the hard work.
So where would you like to start, my friend? It's your party.
Wow.
Shoot away.
Couple of quick announcements, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
Monday night, that would be mañana, in Espanol for folks. That's tomorrow night, 5 p.m. Shasta Union High School District is holding a special meeting. Now, this is in regards to a very offensive video that has been showing in some of the high schools, to include Shasta Union High School District. This is a video that they're showing in the classroom. It's like a 4 or 5 minute music video, but it shows it. I watched it. It shows a guy shooting a blindfolded taped guy in a chair in the head. I mean, it's just vile. So please, everybody, show up if you can. 5 p.m. tomorrow night, Shasta Junior High School District, off Eureka Way, across from Ace Hardware. And please voice your opinion on that.
Do we know the teachers who are doing that or the administrators that are allowing it?
I don't have them in memory, but that's online. There's one or two teachers' names online. That
all of them should be fired, no exceptions.
Absolutely.
No exceptions.
Absolutely. So please show up on that. We only have two County Board of Supervisor meetings remaining, December 6th, December 13th. I'm going to try to be there on the 13th. Should be interesting, and that's all I'm going to say on that. And can I say thank you? Again, in June, me and a bunch of patriots collected pictures of all the precinct polling location tapes, which come out of the Dominion machines. We did the same on this November 8th, and we did better than last time. We collected all but two precincts, so we actually did better. And I'm going to give first names, if I could, please, because these people, they drove, gas, time, everything else in order to get this. So I want to say thank you to Jackie and Jim and Rebecca and Jesse and Liz and Linda F., Becky H., Bob, Glenn, Troy, a girl, her initial starts with C. Can't say her whole name. Amy, Karen, Lori, another lady starts with F. Alan, John, Elizabeth, Paul, another lady starts with R., and Darcy. So that was a big list of folks that helped collect these tapes. Thank you so much for everybody for doing that. So those are my announcements.
Those are patriots out there running around doing the work at the end.
Yep. Absolutely. And as far as I can tell, I think the tapes can be, how do I say this? They actually can be manipulated. It's been found in other states.
Really?
With the Dominion tapes at the end of Election Day.
Surprise.
Actually, well, remember, those machines can be hacked, right? Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, whatever. So.
No surprise.
It has been found that they've been manipulated in other states. No, we're not sure yet if that's happening here. All we can do, unfortunately, is collect the picture of the tapes and assume at this point that it's raw actual data. So we've got all those tapes. So that was excellent to be able to grab those. Interesting numbers, by the way. I'm not sure if we're going to talk about some numbers today. Hmm. Again, right, the registrar is not done counting. There's anywhere from 4 to 6 or 7 what we call drops. When the registrar processes all the different types of ballots, right? In-person ballots, drop-in ballots, mail-in ballots, everything. So 7 days is the deadline for the mail-in ballots to be received. So that deadline should be, I'm not sure if it's inclusive or not. If it's a 6th day and the 7th, they stop. So it's either going to be Wednesday-ish or so, they'll stop receiving mail-in ballots. Which, of course, that'll be the last drop at the end. And that's usually a small number. The last couple of elections, I was in that registrar's office quite a bit for the recall and for the primary. And typically the mail-in ballots after Election Day, a few hundred. But, of course, that can swing our local elections, as we all know. Many of our local elections have been decided by under 100 votes. So those mail-ins absolutely can make a change. But so a lot of things going on. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're being told that Kathy Darling Allen is going to give us an update on Wednesday. Do you have any feedback on that?
I do not. And with my current job, I'm not able to really spend much time at the registrar's office this cycle, unfortunately.
It'll probably be Friday, though, because that's how she likes to drop it, on Fridays.
It looks like Liam has something he wants to bring up. What's up,
buddy? I have a question for Dick. You mentioned the graphic video that's being showed in the schools.
Yes.
Can I ask you where we draw the line, like, with graphic content? And the only reason I'm asking is because I wasn't alive for 9/11. Mm-hmm. And when I was in high school, I had a teacher who showed us, like, a documentary that was filmed inside the Twin Towers. And, I mean, like, I saw people on fire and, like...
Yep.
And that, I mean, it was disgusting. It was terrible to watch, but, like, right. It was eye-opening for me. And so how do we draw the line and define what's okay and what's not okay?
That's a great question. And you're kind of going with this is we're switching from elections to kind of almost a freedom of speech issue. However, it's not freedom of speech because these are government employees. that are teaching our kids. And the Shasta Union District actually has a policy in place regarding showing, I forgot the verbiage, it's not called unapproved content. It's content that is in excess of the prior approved content for that school year. I forgot the verbiage, but they have a policy, and I have not read it. But they are going to be discussing that policy Monday night, which basically gives the teachers latitude to add additional content into the curriculum. And that's where this is going to happen. That's where this discussion is going to go on Monday night, is they're going to talk about that policy and compare that policy with the video shown and maybe possibly amend that policy. But it's highly objectionable material. But they're government employees. So as a government employee, they don't have freedom of speech when they're employed, being paid by taxpayer money. They absolutely do not have freedom of speech.
Unless they're doing it off the clock and they're doing it elsewhere, they can do that. But as an employee doing
as
it on the clock.
As a paid employee, they do not have freedom of speech. They do have some limits. And that's where the school board there has the jurisdiction to set those policies.
Well, we ran into this, Liam, with a couple of people that are staffers for different politicians. And the way it works is if you're off the clock and you're not doing anything representing the particular the government, then you have the freedom of speech. But in this particular case, the point is that these teachers are on the government dole. They are there. They don't have the right to do anything they want. There has to be policy set. Now, I would think the school board would have a say in that. I think a lot of the issues we have is a problem with the school boards. But what exactly is the content of that? It's a good point. What that Liam's making? What's the content of it? Is it about 9/11? What's the content?
In general, it's just I don't remember the exact theme of this short video.
Okay,
but again, it shows a lot of explicit violence. Again, right? A guy tied up in a chair, blindfolded, being shot in the head. You know, it's just it shows a lot of graphic violence.
Okay.
And that's really the big issue.
And what was that video? I mean, is there a title to it or what's it called?
I didn't come prepared to discuss that video, guys. This is all I know about this video at this moment, and to include the announcement of the meeting tomorrow night. So I came prepared to talk about election stuff.
Right.
But
roll it.
Go to the meeting tomorrow night, please, everybody.
There you go.
Yeah, roll it on the election. So.
Yeah, I got two pages of notes here. You know me.
Okay. Roll it.
So can I say something here? We need to have a paradigm shift. I'd like to get away from saying free and fair elections to saying fair and transparent elections. Huh. The free part, that's useless verbiage, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Fair and transparent is where we need to go with that paradigm shift. Fair and transparent. Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm trying to change that every time that thought comes through my head. I'm going to change that myself. So what we're looking for is fair and transparent. Speaking of transparency, we're not getting any of that from our registrar of voters.
Right.
I'm continuing to send Records Act requests to her to get public records, and she continues to use very weak legal arguments, and sometimes she comes up with them with her name on the denial letter, and sometimes she uses county council's name on the denial letter. But either way, and I'm going to cover some of those things. But speaking of non-transparency, Senate Bill 1131 was passed about a month and a half ago. That actually, that has to do with address confidentiality for certain people, like, you know, victims of domestic violence and this and that. And address confidentiality, if people are not aware, that's where their DMV records or their voting records, their address information is not subject to public disclosure. Well, they have now added, so in the elections office and at the polling locations, there are citizen employees. They're called volunteers, but they do get paid, right? But unfortunately, the word used is volunteers, but they're paid. So this law now allows their names. Not their address. I don't want their address. I want their name. I want to see who is working our polling locations. I want their names.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what this bill does?
It removes
their names from a public disclosure. So now we have secret precinct board members. And that law was passed urgency, meaning the day it was signed, it was in effect. So remember, see, now this is what California does to we, the people that look for liberty and freedom, right? They pass laws. And this is probably as a result, because I records acted these very same precinct board member lists in the last two elections. So this is, this should be called the Screw Your Richard Gallardo bill. No, you don't get the next precinct board list for the November election. That's really what this bill should be called. So, yeah, secret precinct boards now. What do you think about that, Terry?
Well, I think that, you know, they're going to play the Kate to the thing where they're protecting these people's identity because of the, especially Kathy Darling Allen. I mean, she just mentioned the other day, as you read, and you, in fact, you sent this article out from the LA Times that her husband just got a CCW, because they're in fear for their lives. I mean, it's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. No one has threatened Kathy Darling Allen. No one has, you know, I think what people want to hear is where this election is going, where the fraud is, and really and truly, how do we have a shift to where we have someone like Kevin Cry, who's up by 200-plus votes, all of a sudden drop down to where he's down 28 votes?
Yep.
That's quite a swing. So that's kind of what we've that's kind of what I'd like to get into is what you're seeing there you know, what we can do about it.
Yeah, yeah. So another thing our registrar does, she uses this – She uses these words when she says there's no election fraud in Shasta County. Trump won by 70%, right? And, yeah. Gavin's recall, Shasta County said, you know, 68% recall Gavin. So what she's doing, she's conflating the federal state, results out of Shasta County. Okay. She's using that as an excuse to say that there's no fraud in Shasta County. Okay, she's using the results of the state and federal results out of Shasta to then conflate and say, no, that means there's also no local election fraud. And that's a false narrative she's using. And we have to reject that narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Kathy? Yeah, are you listening?
Yeah.
Remember, IT people. Remember, IT people at 7:15 on June, the day after the June election. Okay? So we have to reject that narrative from her because she's just trying to confuse people. No, there's no election fraud here. Look what happened with these other federal and state elections. So that means our local elections are fair, too? Sorry, I'm not buying it.
Hmm.
Not when when a good part of the fraud is in the machines, it's in the algorithms, in the programming. Absolutely.
Especially when she's fearful of messing with a national election and a statewide election. You know, she could have some serious penalties there, and the big guys would come after her. So she's going to let those go, so that's why she's saying that, whereas she can mess with the local elections where she will have less of a chance of being, I guess, discovered.
Yeah, yeah.
Until the audit comes in.
Well, when you look at the state races, you know, Newsom won by almost 20%. Padilla won Senate over Mark Moser by almost 20%. Bonta won by about 20%, and the Secretary of State, the incumbent, she won, another Democrat, by about 20%. It's funny how the percentages are all very,
about
very 20, close.
About 20%, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go over a couple quick numbers, because too many numbers in the listeners' eyes gloss over, including mine. But so on Election Day, remember, we collected all the tapes except for two precincts. And so I did a spreadsheet on the County Office of Education race, which is, of course, I'm in. So this is the raw numbers from voting day out of the Dominion machine. Okay? This is not the drop box next to the Dominion. This is the Dominion itself. Only on Election Day. 5,078 votes. Arthur Gorman got 44% out of five candidates.
Mm-hmm.
One candidate got 44%.
Right.
Guess who was in second place? Yeah, Stones. I got 34% out of five candidates. Remember, this is a pick two, right?
Yep.
Pick
mm-hmm.
two for this. Mm-hmm. Next one down would actually be the Steve, the 16-year incumbent.
Yeah.
19%. He's been in over 15 years.
Wow.
Only 19% of the people mm-hmm. wanted him.
Mm-hmm.
Rhonda, about a 10-year incumbent. She got 13%.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then there was a fifth candidate, less than 7%. I mean, look at those numbers.
Yeah.
Arthur, 44. Myself, 34.
Yeah.
Never ran for an office before, Arthur and I.
Mm-hmm.
First time office. I'm a bull in a china shop. And they wanted a bull, right? 34% wanted a bull in a china shop.
Yep.
I look at the official results so far. And, you know, there's statistical things to consider here. But, again, this is just voting day in person, 5,000 voters. This is what they wanted. Amazing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, these numbers, and then on the election site, I am 300 votes. I'm in fourth place on the election site with all the current drops that have occurred.
Okay.
And I'm 300 votes below this second incumbent. I'm in fourth place. So we'll see how the rest of these drops, you know. Is it possible? I guess it's possible, but not likely just because of the issues we have here in this office. But anyway, so interesting stuff. I want to remind people that Kathy Allen, every time she is challenged, she calls a government entity to complain. Doesn't matter if it's Secretary of State, many, Secretary of State, California Attorney General, Homeland Security. She recently sent a Fair Political Practices Commission complaint in against Freedom Coalition.
Right.
I have the email.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And her email says, a voter approached me and has the following concerns about Freedom Coalition.
Right.
Why didn't Kathy Allen just give the phone number or the website to that voter and say, you can file an anonymous complaint or you may file a complaint with your name on it? Why does Kathy have to send the complaint in under her official name? She's using her official email, her county email, using the influence of her office to say, hey, we got something going on up here. Can you look at, really, Kathy? Really, Kathy? You should have given that back to the citizen, Kathy, and said and referred them, and that was it.
Yeah, she made
she
it public.
Continues
yeah, she continues
to stick the government on we,
right.
the people. I'm tired of it.
Yeah,
who does that? Socialists, Democrats,
communists.
Communists stick the government on the people that are looking for liberty and freedom.
And she even put that out in the record searchlight. Everything you said is public record that she
Absolutely.
Put out in the record searchlight, that she actually did file that grievance. And you're absolutely right. I mean, all of this is good, except that we need to get rid of Kathy Darling Allen. She needs to go. And she needs to go because of all these reasons. Also, I think that we have a tough time with the press, as we all know. We don't really have that particular, avenue to help us on our side. And, as evidenced by the LA Times, the Sacramento Bee, Record Searchlight, Channel 7 News in Reading, et cetera. Now, what are some of the things that you're looking at? And we're going to go to the break a little bit early, because what I'd like to hear from you is some of the things we're looking at on how we combat all this, right? I mean, it's great having the statistics. It's great having the numbers. It's great having this information. But what are some things maybe that you're thinking that we actually can do? And again, I don't know. I know a lot of times we've looked at things and said, well, gee, let's wait. You know, we've got this we're working on and that we're working on. Well, when we work on stuff, they do stuff to us.
Right.
So while we're waiting, it's like the little boy in A Christmas Story waiting for his little orphan Annie decoder ring.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking for all the clues, and he gets a clue, and he gets Ovaltine, he gets another clue, and finally the ring comes in and says, hey, here's the secret, drink more Ovaltine. And that's the way I feel right now. So with that, we're going to go off to our break now, and we're going to try to get into what some of the things are we can do or that we're looking into that we really need to attack on. So, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
If I don't come back, don't come looking.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
a jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Way to go, Sally Lou. Way to go, honey. Were you moving your head at that girl? Huh? Were you doing the in front of the computer dance?
My son loves music. He does keyboard, French horn, trumpet, a little bit of sax, alto sax, and I'm playing him, you know, the 80s stuff.
Yeah.
He loves the 80s stuff.
I hear your kid's like a genius. He scares me.
I think he's possessed with the keyboard. Yeah. I mean, and his music teacher's like, you've had no formal lessons.
Nope. I heard he's good on the computer, too, that he understands how to fix those.
Oh, yeah, that's another show. But,
he's
banned from the school computer because he gets in the administrative side and does... No, seriously, he's banned for the entire year because he gets in and does stuff.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's what we heard.
That's hilarious.
Anyways, it makes the homework hard. But
so, Wynn, you had a couple of questions, Wynn.
Okay, well, you're giving us all these stats. Now what? What are the boots on the ground going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to fix this? How do we address it? Maybe we don't fix it. I don't know. But what can we really do? I love hearing all the stats, but we can get overwhelmed with that and make our heads spin.
Right. And that's why I limited the numbers.
But I'm one of those that's like, okay, I hear all that, I understand what you're saying, and I see the trend. Now what?
Well, if I could, please. We only need about 10 minutes to talk about remedies.
Okay.
The current remedies. But number one, Kathy Allen, it's rumors on the street, she'll be retiring next year. And depending on when she got that raise, that $40,000, what was that, May, June-ish, whatever.
So she has to be on the
She needs 12 months, to spike her pension. She needs to be on that elevated salary for 12 months. So we've got her till, mid-summer maybe.
Yeah, okay.
But here's the thing. I want to help convince her to retire. And by exposing everything she's doing to we the people, by refusing us records and doing the absolutely just juvenile stuff, I want to continue to put the public pressure on her.
Right.
And there's other things she has been doing recently for this election that she has not done on previous elections. And this is something that the people need to know. Because we don't want the next registrar to make these same mistakes also. So this is an educational moment.
How
also.
Would we get the next registrar? Would that be an appointment by the Board of Supervisors?
Yes.
How does that work?
Yes. We'll talk about that when we go to the remedy section.
Go for it.
Yeah. But so this time around, and allegedly these things that Kathy has done has been approved. I talked to Joanna Francesca, who's second in charge there.
Mm-hmm.
And Joanna says, the county council has approved the following changes. I'm like, all right. So upstairs in the registrar's office, they put red tape on the carpets,
mm-hmm.
these lines.
Do not cross this line.
There's observer zones and no-go observer zones, right? And apparently, right? No, I don't think so. Public facility, public election, public pay. Did I say public, right?
We own it.
Right? That's the equivalent of a free speech zone.
Yeah.
No, we don't get to do that, especially in a public building. Absolutely not. That's a violation. Another thing she has done. And this is a serious, serious legal violation on Kathy's part.
Okay.
She has refused access to the vast majority of observers. In the last two elections, we have gone down in the what's called the warehouse, the first floor on the, where the back alley comes in. Mm-hmm. That's where everything comes in. That's where the Agilis machine's at. Yep. Last two elections, we were allowed down there, and we did have a space to stand in, and that's fine because that place is very cramped, but we could see all the activities.
Right.
And if we wanted to go over to the Agilis and look at the screen, they would let us one at a time go over. So they did actually very good in the last two elections. Allowing observers access. Well, guess what? Kathy Allen has all but closed access to the warehouse to observers, and in place of that, that building now has interior cameras. There are interior cameras all over that building now. And I'm going to records act those cameras, and of course, she will deny me all that footage as she did before, right? But I'm still going to records act that footage. So in place of being in the warehouse, now everybody has to go, the observers go to the second floor. And there's two TV screens now up on the second floor.
Mm-hmm. In the hallway area?
Yeah. Okay. That, yeah, that kind of that foyer.
Foyer, yeah.
Yeah, whatever you call that area.
Yep.
And there's two cameras now. Mm-hmm. Well, those cameras obviously are shoved up in the corners of that the warehouse room, so there's a distance from where the camera is shooting the room, and there's a distance to the location of where the observer should be observing the activities.
Gotcha.
So here's where Kathy has gone wrong, okay? There's a law that says Kathy must allow, I know, dead airtime is not good. So I'm, let me summarize. Observers, must have, the elections processes must be open to the public.
Okay.
No, open to the public. That is in the law. Now that's what, subjective, I guess? What is open to the public mean?
Interpretive, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the second one is not very subjective. It says observers must be close enough to actually observe the return ballot envelopes and the signatures there on.
So within
we can't do that anymore.
Within 4 feet.
Well, again,
okay, what
close
was
enough
her response?
To.
What yeah. was her response?
I have not confronted her with this yet.
Gotcha. Go ahead.
But the law is very clear.
Absolutely.
But now that we are we're omitted from the warehouse now, and we're looking at a computer screen, we absolutely cannot see those ballot return ballot envelopes close enough to see the signatures there on. Blatant violation from Kathy Allen. Blatant violation.
So the camera that's viewing that particular site where the signature is being validated is, what, 10, 12 feet away or something to that effect, and then you're in another room watching this on a screen?
Correct.
Okay.
And that is a blatant violation. So when I asked Joanna, I said, Joanna, we're not close enough to observe the signatures on the ballots. Joanna says, oh, well, you can watch the signature verification process at the various computer terminals as they're doing the verification process. Okay, that's not what the law reads. The law doesn't say I get to be at any computer terminal and look at the signature verification. It says I can look at the return ballot envelopes.
The way she's explaining
it. The law reads return ballot envelopes. It does not read I can look at a computer screen. It says the return ballot envelopes. It's very clear.
Okay, so the way she's explaining it, you could do it from home.
Well, yes.
So,
but the law says I get access to be close enough.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The way she's explaining it and the way she's justifying is that I could do it from home. I could do it on my cell phone somewhere else. I could be linked to a computer that views that.
Yep.
I could do it anywhere in the world.
Yep.
Why can I not be within 4 feet of that ballot?
Exactly. So blatant violation on Kathy.
What if you can't see 4 feet away?
So well, there you go. Accommodations. There are always accommodations for every.
Yes.
For every limitation,
yep.
There are
ADA, right? Americans with Disability Act.
We have a caller on the line. I'm sorry, Jimmy. We
busy.
Maybe Liam, you can kind of blink a light at me or something. So we, Jimmy, what say you, sir?
I just have a quick question.
Sure.
I was listening to the show, enjoying my weekend, and did you guys say that Kathy Allen Darling got a $40,000+ raise?
Yes.
This year?
$49,000, and that was said on an earlier program, and yes, that's correct, $49,000.
So
he was probably going to get to that. Go ahead.
That much extra money on top of her old salary.
Yes.
Correct.
Because that's also a good indicator, Jimmy, that they're trying to spike her salary because
yep.
she's gonna retire.
Mm-hmm.
So they're spiking her salary. That's It's that simple.
I know. And what's the average salary per capita in Shasta County?
Probably no, about 45,000.
It's not 49,000.
No. Average household family income, last I checked, 2020 One, I believe, was about $55,000. That's household income, not individual income.
Wow. The grift is on, buddy.
Yeah.
Think?
Thanks. Thanks,
okay,
Jimmy.
I just wanted to...
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jimmy. What were you going to say?
Yeah. Most people in Shasta County make, like, about that much.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, brother.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Great show.
Okay, so the law I was referencing earlier about open to the public and sufficiently close to observe the envelopes, that's election code 15104. 15104. Everybody can read it for themselves. So another thing we've been doing is when we were going precinct to precinct on the 8th, we were looking at Wi-Fi signals.
Okay.
So we were my instructions to everybody was get about 100, 150 feet away from the location of the machines. Try to avoid other surrounding buildings where there's likely other Wi-Fi. Capture your screen to see how many Wi-Fis are there and their strengths. And then go into the polling location. And if for some reason you choose not to, you can see the machines pretty much through the windows. Go to the outside of the wall where the machines are at because you'll get the signal through the wall. And then turn off your Wi-Fi, turn it back on. Make sure it refreshes and reloads. And then see what's different. So I'll just give you one that I found.
Okay.
And there was extra Wi-Fi signals at some of the places, but not at all the places. But again, these machines can turn on and off their Wi-Fis and Bluetooth at will, right, when they want to do a data send or whatever. So, you know, whether they all have them or not, we're not sure. Whether it's an intermittent signal, we don't know. But what I do tell you, here's what's interesting. I went to a double precinct location. I will not, because I have this in writing in case we go to court. I went to a double precinct location. I did that process. I found two new Wi-Fi, double precinct meaning two Dominion machines.
Yes.
And then when I reopened my Wi-Fi, I had two very strong brand new signals. And then I went to the front of the building where there was an employee. Again, I'm not going to say where yet. I showed the employee these Wi-Fi signals and I said, are these your Wi-Fi signals for your building? By the way, this particular location was surrounded by parking lot, dirt and asphalt parking lots. There was another public building nearby and I could capture that Wi-Fi. It actually identified the public building, so I knew that was there. And I showed her these and I said, are these your signals? She says, nope, not our signals. I said, do you have a signal? She said, yes. And I showed her my thing. She says, yep, that one right there, that's our signal. So I got it confirmed from an employee that those two fresh, brand new, very strong signals that I grabbed on the other side of the wall didn't belong to the location. So it's anecdotal at this point. So it's interesting. Interesting.
Well, do you know what? Audits will prove that to be the case.
Yep. And then there was another location from one of our trusted people that were getting tapes. She went to this location. There was three county employees working the polls that day, right? There's a lot of county employees, active and retired, working these polls, mm-hmm. You know, and that's a freedom of assembly thing. Good for them for doing it, although, you know, in this environment, it's questionable. All three of them had their county laptops open, and they were all doing county work. And this person asked the employee, are you connected to the Internet on your laptop? And they said, yes. I'm like, no, there's no law against that, of course, having your own devices, whether it be a government device or a personal device, in the polling place. But I think at this point, it's highly questionable when a current county employee, three of them, by the way, at one location, are working three county laptops all connected to the Internet. You know, it doesn't bode well for, you know, the concerns we have.
Right.
You know, that shouldn't be happening.
Agreed.
If they're being paid to work as a poll worker, and one of them said they were like on call or whatever and they were dealing with an on call issue, well, you know what? How about you kick your on call status to the next dude? You should be 100% doing election stuff, mm-hmm. and your county laptop needs to be at home.
Yeah.
Or in your office. How about we do that to minimize any questions? I don't know. Is that too extreme?
It's about perception.
Is that too extreme to maybe go that route?
Not
I don't know.
Not
well, cell phones that Kathy Darling Allen have and Joanna have are both county paid for cell phones, and they call that their cell phones.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that when I had a discussion with Kathy Darling Allen about a couple of friends of mine, one sitting in the room, that they weren't allowed to do something that they were constitutionally protected.
Yeah, be a poll worker, yeah.
That's right. And we had that discussion, and then she changed her tune. Point being is that the cell phone I was called from while she was on vacation, meaning Kathy Darling Allen, is paid for by the county, as is Joanna's. And so there's a lot of things that, as Wynn has always said, a forensic audit will bring forward, because mm-hmm. we're paying for a lot of stuff that these guys are doing and a lot of stuff that they get. And the spiking of Kathy Darling Allen's salary, if that doesn't raise the hair on the back of your neck, I don't know what would.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I'm going to have a couple more things. Again, this is I'm trying to encourage Kathy Allen to go down that yellow brick road. And we're just going to expose, what I call, this is malfeasance. This stuff she's doing, she's breaking that one law that I just cited to you. That's malfeasance.
Right.
I mean, she's literally breaking the law.
Who's going to prosecute?
Nobody, not in this county.
Yeah.
So we'll switch over to some remedies and some plans that we have in the works. But so another thing, I did a records act, one of many, for the June primary ballots. I wanted the physical ballots for the purposes of scanning. She denied them, citing privacy.
Mm-hmm.
She cited the California Constitution, where there's a privacy clause in there. She cited a state law that says, the ballot, it's a secret ballot. So you don't get to have the ballot. So, see, I can see Wynn already. He's like, what? It's a secret ballot. That means when I'm holding the ballot, I can't see who voted it. So, yes, it's a secret ballot, meaning the voter's identity is protected. So why shouldn't I get that document? Because I can't say who submitted the ballot. But I get to count the ballot and check the ballot.
Yeah.
See? So, Wynn's like, what the hell? It's a secret ballot, so you don't get to see it. No, it's a secret ballot to separate the voter's identity from the ballot. So, Kathy, again, she's, her and the county council's office, they're using just, and then they cited a 2019 case called Citizen Oversight versus VU, V-U, 2019 out of San Diego, where somebody also sued to get the paper ballot. Now, here's the problem with this lawsuit. They only sued to get the paper ballot. Okay? That's all they did.
Mm-hmm.
And so the judge rightly cited Elections Code 17301, saying the ballots shall remain sealed after the election for 22 months. Mm-hmm. But there's an exemption. Right? Every law has an exemption.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Section C of that very same law says if there is a contest, meaning contested, mm-hmm. there's a contest within 22 months, then those ballots can be unsealed. Gee. What a concept. What a concept. So unfortunately, this case is not, they didn't go after the right thing. They should have contested that election mm-hmm. to then gain access to those ballots. Okay?
So how does that work if your elections officer has already destroyed the data?
Well, if it's after 22 months, then the law allows, this is federal. A lot of people don't know this. The federal races, she has to maintain those records for 22 months.
Mm-hmm.
The local races, now, all the ballots are together. On one ballot, you have state, federal, and local.
Right.
So fortunately, they are separate. Mm-hmm. They're together.
Mm-hmm.
So the 22 months also applies to the state and local because they're all on the same paper.
Correct.
But the law says she's only required to maintain local election results for 6 months.
6 months?
Yep. It's in the law. It's in the election code.
Son of a...
Right. But again, because everything is together, state, federal, and local, and 22 months is the overriding number,
okay.
then everything's kept for 22 months.
Okay.
So.
We've got about 10 minutes left, buddy.
We do. I see that. And another thing in this one case, last thing in this case, it says on page 4 of that case text, Citizen Oversight versus VU, page 4, it reads, quote, California courts have not addressed the issue of disclosure of ballots. They even admit there has not been the proper lawsuit on disclosure of ballots. So it is ripe for a lawsuit.
Yep.
It is ripe for a lawsuit.
Yep. Wow.
We still can get our June ballots. We're going to wind up having to go through a contest. We're going to have to contest the election. That's the exception in the law. And then getting those ballots, it's ripe for a fresh lawsuit. That lawsuit, they did not do it properly. So
what about with a fresh new board come January? Can they give directive to the VOR to turn that information over?
Yeah, absolutely. Remember that. Now let's get into the remedy part. So the County Board of Supervisors, right? They're legislative. They're quasi judicial.
Executive.
Because they do hearings.
Yep.
And the third one, they're executives, right? They run the county departments, right, via appointed folks.
Right.
They absolutely have the absolute power, because those election records are public documents. They do not belong to Kathy Allen. Absolutely not. They belong to we the people, and the county board are our representatives. And if we the people demand access to those public records, they absolutely can do it. Yes, there's going to be pushback. If the county orders the release of the ballots, the electronic data records, the camera footage. Oh, trust me, I'm not done going after that camera footage I was denied in June. Trust me. They can order all of that stuff. Now, what Kathy is going to do, hi, Kathy, she's going to call the Secretary of State and say, hey, they're trying to get all of our stuff. And then she's going to say, can you call the Attorney General? And the Attorney General is going to find a crooked judge, and that judge will issue an injunction, a stay, whatever. They're going to call it what they will.
Yeah.
And that judge will literally order the county board to cease and desist their actions.
Right.
Now, what the county board of supervisors needs to do prior to ordering the release of all these documents and disclosure, they need to go on the offense and use the county council's office to offensively sue the state of California, Kathy Allen, anybody, the Secretary of State, attorney, anybody that's complicit in this hiding of the public documents.
Absolutely.
So,
yep.
County council needs to go on the offense, and then the county board orders the release of these public documents.
Absolutely.
That's one of the first steps we need to do in January once the board seats. Yes, there's going to be pushback. The board of supervisors are going to have to be ready to disobey a judge's order. Yeah, you heard me right, people.
It's not disobey.
It's called
disregard.
Well, an order is an order, right? And then they can be held in contempt if they,
what they tell the
judge, sorry, judge, no,
sand.
Judge, you're not elected to represent the people in Shasta County.
Right.
We are represented. This is a county. And now, the specifics here is going to be we should go after the county election.
Absolutely.
Don't try to disclose the state and federal elections.
Right, county only.
Our county board goes after the county side of the election, and that's all the stuff we want. And then we tell the judge, sorry, judge, this is a county issue.
Yep.
You have no say in it, judge. We're
no
going after the, you have no jurisdiction in
that's
this
right.
county issue. We're only going after the county data, the county races, the county, did I say county?
Yeah.
Okay. And then that should omit that even the state attorney general. I understand we're a legal subdivision of the state, but remember Article 1, Section 1 in the state constitution says all political power is inherent in the people, and
that's
we're going
right.
to take that power.
That's right.
We're going to assert that power, and we're going to tell a judge, sucks to be you, judge. We the people, Article 1, Section 1 says we have the power, and we're asserting it.
There you go.
That's it. And by the way, judge, you send your goons into Shasta County to do anything whatsoever. Intimidate, arrest, detain, cite, doesn't matter. We have some citizens in this county that are willing to step up.
Yep.
And we will escort your goons back to the county line one time. One time. The second time they show up, there will not be an escort.
There you go.
Well,
that's
you know, also the sheriff can help out in that too. I mean, we keep hearing
our sheriff.
A lot. I know that Patty Plum at the last meeting at the Board of Supervisors was praising our sheriff. I still haven't seen, he has little tiny stones from what I understand. And
God, that's another radio show.
I'm telling you, man, that guy, I mean, seriously, we're going to have, he's actually going to be a hero of the people. Heck, there's people that believe that our sheriff tried to incite a riot on January 18th.
Yep.
And, at the Board of Supervisors, where 70% of the people there were women and children.
Yes.
Well, he definitely was not trying to prevent a riot. Let's say it that way. He was not trying to prevent.
I'm saying in some people's opinion. So
sure,
that's
sure.
And that's what some people's opinion are.
I get it. Yeah.
That is not specifically the opinion, possibly here or
elsewhere.
That means I'm not going to say another word about that. Other than the fact that some people,
other than the fact,
believe that it could be inciting a riot. Some of the actions that were done.
Oh, if we get a hold of some of his texts and his emails,
we
might be able to use
we have some stuff.
We might be able to use that word inciting a riot.
That's
if we
be
could
a whole
prove
other
it.
Situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Johnson.
You mean a forensic audit?
Well, Public Records Act.
For the love of God, forensic audit every department. I've been saying that for years.
Yep.
It'll clean this place up. It'll clean it up, and we'll get rid of the problem children, and we can clean up the departments that need to be cleaned up, and our tax dollars will be more efficiently spent.
Go ahead, buddy. You got about 5 minutes.
So the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, we talked about some things we can do very, very soon. That's one of the avenues. The other avenue is we need to get the elections office. We need to have control of the elections office.
Exactly.
Now, I came up with something maybe a year ago, right, when we were doing the recall, and mm-hmm. I've had talks with current supervisors on this matter. And it hasn't happened yet, but I said, hey, let's establish an Office of Ethics and Accountability for Shasta County. You know, 2-3 employees, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I won't work for much. Like, trust me, I don't need a whole lot to make my bills. I'll run that department for very little money. Mm-hmm. I promise the taxpayers. I'm former military police. I know how to do investigations, interviews, interrogations. Yeah, interrogations. And, let's start showing up, and we'll put a badge on the side of the car, right? Call it what you will, and then watch the employees run out the back window when we pull in, right? And they'll be like, with the retirement papers, you know, flying in the air with fresh ink on the date and the signature block, right? Or, if we get the new board in January, let's hire a quality control specialist for the elections office. By the way, government code 25201. I'll say that again, government code 25201. Board of Supervisors may appoint oversight for elections. They can appoint judges, inspectors, clerks. They can do things with precinct locations. Oh, yeah. So our board absolutely, even without this law, the board can still hire a quality control specialist for the elections office.
So that means we could
have... I volunteer for that, by the way, and please put my desk right... actually touching Kathy Allen's desk in the same damn room. Please.
Well, if they hire you, she won't be there.
Please.
Okay.
So well, please, I want to be the quality control person in the elections office.
So we can have voter day, a day of holiday of celebration, whatever you want to call it, voter election day in Shasta County. We can do that.
Well, the U.S. Constitution mandates election day, singular.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Supreme Court case roughly 2014. It's fairly recent. That also says, yeah, election day. It just affirms what's in the Constitution.
Okay.
And that Supreme Court opinion said, yeah, it's not election month, it's not election season, it's not election year, it's election day.
Kind of funny how they use that.
We need to return to that.
That old playbook, the Constitution.
It's all dusty.
It's dusty.
A bunch of white slave owners.
It's a living document, right?
The white slave owners signed that document.
I want to clarify something real quick, and that is that, you know, there's a lot of really good employees at the Registrar of Voters Office.
There are some really fine
people. And I know that when you were talking about going by there and they would scatter, we're talking about the upper echelon that really is accountable.
Yep.
And also the upper echelon there that knows what's going on. And that can only be 3 or 4 people. I mean, but, you know, the point is that...
3 or 4 people causing
all that problem.
Thank you for doing that because, yes, again, I remember I gave kudos to the elections office a little bit ago about giving observer access the last election. So, yes, most of those very nice people doing their job very well to the best of their abilities. Yep. And again, like Chris Kelstrom says, vast majority of our, you know, even middle management to the feet on the ground county employees, they're good people. They just want to show up and go to work and go home, take care of their families. Yep. Absolutely. Yep. Here's the funny thing. So I know we're almost out of time. I went to one of the polling locations to look at the new electronic polling books, right? That took the place of the street roster.
Okay.
And there was 2 polling locations there. And one of the inspectors says, "Oh, we've been instructed not to talk to media." I had my citizen journalist badge on. They're like, "Oh, we've been told we can't talk to media. You need to call the registrar's office." I'm like, "Really?" Well, then the other inspector, remember, 2 polling places, 2 inspectors. The senior inspector, this elderly, walks up to me and says, "Ain't nobody going to tell me who I can and can't talk to. What kind of questions do you have there, Richard?" So I got my interview because this old lady's like, "Ain't nobody tell me who I can talk to." So good for her. Very nice.
That was
a positive thing.
That's great. I love it.
She's apparently been doing it a while, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, she was a patriot. And then, lastly, and I know we're almost done here. On November 8th in the evening, I went to the registrar's office to observe the cars coming in, bringing in the elections materials. Mm. There was barricades. I mean, Terry mentioned the LA Times story. I'm at the top of the page in the picture talking to the police. So the security guard says, "You can't come in." I'm like, "No, public alleyway. Of course I can come in." He says, "No, you can't." I'm like, "Well, stop me." So I went in, and he's like, "If you don't leave, we're calling the cops." "Call the cops." So, of course, you know me. I've had the cops call me many times. It doesn't scare me. The cop showed up, and the cop's like, "Oh, they have a permit to close the alleyway." I'm like, "Well, the guard never told me they had a permit, number one. Number two, I want to see it. Let me see the permit where they can close the public alleyway." And the cop says, "Well, we don't have it." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. I'll take your word for it tonight, officer." So I went outside the barricade. So I'm going to get a copy of that permit.
I would.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the first time ever that they got a permit to close the alleyway, didn't they?
But she keeps doing things to keep us out and away and more distant.
Why?
Exactly. And she will not give us, she will not be transparent. And remember, we're changing it from free and fair to fair and transparent.
There you go.
Fair and transparent. One more time. Fair and transparent.
Fair and transparent. Fair and transparent.
And we're not getting that here in Shasta County.
Amen.
Thanks, guys.
Richard Gallardo.
Thank you, Rich.
Stones. Stones. Stones of iron. Anyway, time has come.
The time has come. The time has come.
It has.
It has.
For 51.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Get her done.
Baseball is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.